Hi everyone, and welcome to the Basic Latina Podcast, an intimate conversation with friends about love, life, wellness, and everything in between. And today we have on the show Millie Betancourt. Millie is a licensed massage therapist and the owner of A Little Time For You Spa LLC. She was born and raised in Hartford's West End, earned her bachelor's in business with a concentration in legal studies from Bay Path Universities, and a master's in business administration with a concentration in entrepreneurship and innovative thinking, also from Bay Path University. Millie received her massage therapy certificate in May 2016 from the state of Connecticut after completing a program at the Connecticut Center for Massage Therapy that same year. Millie opened up A Little Time For You LLC in 2006 and has been serving the Hartford community since then. Currently, Millie shares a space with Divine Secret Spa, which is located in Newington, Connecticut. Their specialties include deep tissue massage, cupping, and Reiki therapy. Currently, Millie is working on getting her certificate to become a Reiki master and certified reflexologist, as well as gaining other knowledge on more modalities for massage therapy. She currently lives in Weathersfield with her partner of almost 19 years and her 10-year-old son. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Enjoy this interview. And I have Millie Betancourt from A Little Time For You Massage. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. It is super relaxing in here and I want to go to sleep.
Good. That's the idea.
Millie has this like noise machine in the background. So if you hear frogs, we're not outside. It's a noise machine. But I wanted to sit down with Millie. Well, as you guys know, it's a wellness podcast. And actually, Millie reached out to me. She's actually the first person to reach out to us about wanting to be on the podcast. But she heard about the podcast from Carla Medina, who is a previous guest. And as you know, I like to highlight Latinas and other women of color who have small businesses. And I think I'm excited for us to dive into this because I've never sat with a massage therapist before. And you guys do a lot.
Yeah, we do. It's not all fluffy spa days around here. Absolutely.
Yeah. And just in general, Millie, when I was reading your bio, I was really interested about, you know, your journey because you grew up in an urban area in Hartford and stuff like that. And then you were working in insurance and other things like that that are completely left to what you're doing now.
Yes.
And then you opened A Time For You in 2006. So what happened between this, like, I'm going to go to school, I'm going to work in this corporate office, and now I want to be a massage therapist? How was that journey?
Oh, it was really interesting. I mean, I was definitely all set up in for the college road. I wanted to be a lawyer, so everything was working up to that. My bachelor's is in legal studies, and so I wanted to go that way. Mm-hmm. And when I did finish my bachelor's, I honestly didn't want to work that hard, so I went and I did my MBA instead. And when I finished my MBA, I found that I couldn't get paid what I felt like I was worth getting paid. Mm-hmm. And
what'd you get your MBA in?
I did my master's in business administration, and it's actually in an entrepreneurship concentration.
Okay.
So it's from Bay Path as well. I believe it's entrepreneurship and innovative thinking or some good stuff like that, right?
Fancy,
I know. So I couldn't find a good job. Mm-hmm. I was working for a small business then, and I just was struggling with the fact that I wasn't going to get paid what I wanted to get paid. It wasn't as flexible as I needed it to be. And so massage kept coming into my life. And, like, I believe in energy and all kinds of stuff we'll probably talk about. But I didn't so much then. So it's like massage kept coming up on the radio, on the mail. And, you know, it's like coming to me. And so I told my son's father, I'm like, hey, I think I want to go to massage school. And he's like, are you crazy? And I tell this to a lot of my clients, so if they listen, they'll definitely know this story. But he's like, are you crazy? The ink is not even dry on your diploma yet. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And he finally came around, and he's like, you want to do it? Let's do it. And I quit my job and went to massage school full time and started the business. And it's like, kind of the rest is history. There was definitely some part-time work in between, but pretty much that's where it all came from.
That's crazy. So there was no background in, like, you know, massage therapy, or there wasn't, you had a masseuse that impacted you or nothing like that?
Nothing.
You just
like
kept getting messages about massage therapy or getting a certificate, because I know what you mean. You'll hear, like, on the radio, get your degree in this, go to mm-hmm. this school. So you kept hearing that.
Yeah. And I mean, I had discovered massage a couple years prior when I was on a cruise, and it was like the best thing ever. So I was getting massage more regularly. But no, I never wanted to, honestly, I never wanted to care about people. Like, that's what I would say when I was younger, because my mother, she is a licensed marriage and family therapist now. Mm-hmm. She worked for DCF. She worked with all these different community services and people. And mm-hmm. she always was like, oh my God, in this person, and oh my God, in that person. Mm-hmm. And it's rough work. And I was like, I don't want to care about people that much. You know, like, I don't want to feel that way.
Right.
And I ended up doing it anyway, and it's like, I love it, and I love being able to work with people, and I love being able to help people feel better. And mm-hmm. so it's like, you end up doing what they want you to do anyway, whatever the universe wants you to do. So.
And it's funny how I found Millie. I knew about her before she even knew that I knew about her, if that makes sense. So her mom, who's a therapist, knows my mom, who knows me. It's like a whole bunch of us know each other, and she was like, yeah, if you ever needed a massage, my daughter, you know, she has a private practice. You know, she's right next door, and she does my billing and some other stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I started following you on Instagram because of that. But I didn't know much about it other than I thought that you gave massages as a service for her private practice or something like that. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But even though you kind of, you know, jumped into this entrepreneurship and things like that, and it was something that you hadn't thought about before, you still had the mindset because you went to school for it.
Yeah.
Did you think that you were going to start a small business? Did you want to be an entrepreneur when you went to school?
I never really thought that I would start my own business, but when I was in finishing my bachelor's, we had this activity where we were talking about what we wanted to do in the future, and I'm like, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to run something. Like, I want to run it. I want to, you know, make it work and figure something out, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I think massage found me for that reason, because mm-hmm. I needed to have that outlet. And it's funny because I do work with a lot of people, and that's why, you know, like, everybody is connected, and I try to connect different businesses. Like, I'll have nothing to do with anything, and it's like,
mm-hmm.
I pursued, you know, Carla Medina, and she'll laugh about it, but I'm like, I want to work with you, you know. And she's like, mm-hmm, we'll see. And, you know, and it's like, I had to grow on her, and she's amazing, and she connects me with so many people. But in turn, you know, I try to connect with Diana more, and then it's like, I try to connect everybody together, mm-hmm. and this person, and I like,
and we're all linked in some way.
Yeah,
we are
all definitely linked together. So it works.
It definitely does. And I wanted to focus a little bit about the start of the business, because there's a lot of people who listen to this podcast that want to know about the, not so much the entrepreneur, but kind of the steps, because, you know, they might want to start a small business. So mm-hmm. you talk to your partner, you tell him, I want to be a masseuse, and you quit your job. What were the next steps that you had to take?
So I was really fortunate to have him, and still have him as an incredible support. So, you know, in terms of financials, that was taken care of. So
nice.
Definitely appreciate that. And at that point, our son was probably about 4, and me and him go way back. I mean, it's like, I met him when I was 12, so we're going on about 19 years now.
Wow.
So it's like, it was a, you know, pretty strong foundation there. So I quit, I went to school, and I struggled with not having my own money, you know, because he would provide and stuff, but I felt like, if I want to buy a donut in the morning, I have to ask him for money to buy a donut in the morning, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I struggled with that, and that was difficult. But as I would make my little money from the billing that I did for my mom, and like little things here and there, I kind of built that small nest egg to help get me through. And when I started the business, I kind of started it like, however it's going to work. This is whatever's going to work. We're going to figure this out.
Interesting.
And put everything together as we go. My mother already had her business, so I saw her in that aspect. But
and you probably went to her for advice as well.
Yeah, I did. Absolutely. And she's another huge support for me. But like, in terms of this type of business, there's not a lot of overhead.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, especially if mm-hmm. you don't let yourself get carried away. So it wasn't mm-hmm. it wasn't really expensive to start the business. My massage table came with my tuition from massage school. It doesn't work like that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But so I had the table, I got the store, I got things little by little. My mom helped me get this, or, you know, I got this from the mm-hmm. house and that lamp from there, and, you know, we kind of just like put it together.
Yeah.
And it worked.
How long was the period for massage therapy school? Like, what's the process for that?
So I ended up in one of the shortest programs by mistake, but that's a whole nother story. But it was 8 months.
Oh, wow.
It was the shortest program. I think the longest program at that time was 22 months, and that's the program I thought I was going for. But,
and you had to quit your job and completely depend on your partner to do it?
Yes, because okay. I was going to be in the 8-month program. It was 4 days a week, 9 to 5.
Ooh, yeah, that's a full-time job.
So it was not, going to happen because at that time I was working with Melvin Banks and State Farm in East Hartford. Mm-hmm. Well, and he's, you know, it was a really good job. It was very flexible and things like that. But I just couldn't do both. I couldn't do what he needed and be able to go to school.
Okay.
So it was a tough decision at the time. But at the same time, by the time my partner agreed, he just was like, "Go for it," you know.
Okay.
You could do this. So once I started the business, you know, everybody's like, "Oh, how do you get the clients?" Things like that. I started with Groupon. It wasn't the best experience. It still, like, haunts me with some things that happened badly with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I got a lot of people in the door fast, and I was booked, and I had, you know, a little bit of money coming in. Groupon doesn't pay a whole lot, whoever's worked at Groupon. So, you know, you have a tiny bit of money coming in, but you have that experience.
Yeah, because they're cheap, like $30, $40. As someone who has given away a lot of Groupon massages to people, I know how much it
you
costs.
You know, and that's not, you know, I think... If you have to be educated, you have to know that. Mm-hmm. And you talked about, like, people that want to open up small businesses. Like, there are so many great resources on Instagram. These people, there are so many coaches, and beware of the coaches because they're expensive. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's so many of them giving out free advice, you know, little free things. Like, yeah, sit through that hour of stuff that you think you already know to get that 1 or 2, 5 minutes of things that you don't know and that are right. so important that really gets you over the edge. Like, I took a workshop with a business coach the other day on for free on Instagram Live or Facebook Live, and it was about Groupon, and she opened, like, really turned me around. Like, oh no, I could make Groupon work for me. I could make Groupon. I could make money with Groupon if I follow these steps. You know,
are there any pages or people that people should follow on Instagram if they want to do a small business?
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I follow Candace Holyfield. Candace Holyfield is the six-figure spa chick, just spelled out right, just like that, S-I-X, six-figure.
Okay.
And she is specifically for spa and beauty services. Okay. I will give you, you know, a little warning that she can be a little raw. she's from Memphis and transplant into Atlanta, and she is very... rough when she needs to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch her cursing out some of her, you know, students here and there. But even when she is, I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I get where she's coming from.
Right, right.
So she's a good one. Another one that I just discovered, and this, I think this second one definitely, a massage therapist in Manchester named Shawnee, who's amazing. She actually recommended me to her. Her name is Melinda Manet, and it's M-I-N-E. And she is the spa prophet.
Okay.
So I usually gravitate to people who are in my industry.
Absolutely.
And because I want to see what works for them. And these are people that are boasting, making, you know, good amount of money and making a good impact. So kind of got to follow what other people do and see how you can take it to make it work for you, if it works for you.
Absolutely. It sounds like these two people, in addition to your mom, kind of helped you in terms of trying to build your business. Your mom, who's Latina, was seeing her open her private practice and seeing how she strived, did you feel more confident that you could do it, you know, having her by your side and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, having her do what she did, and like beyond opening the business, the things that she's gone through, the jobs that she's had, the things that she's done for us, you know, it's just like, it's amazing in a sense. And it really, you know, I'm probably not even realizing until right now, which is her birthday. So happy birthday. I have to do a shout out to my mom. So, you know, looking at it now, I really can think, yeah, I never thought that I couldn't open a business because she already did that. It was just like, yeah, I'm opening a business.
You saw the
Let's
mold.
Do this.
You're like,
Let's,
yeah.
We got this. Like, we're gonna open a business and it's gonna be awesome.
We know about your husband's reaction. What was your mom's reaction when you told her that you were gonna, like, quit your job, go to massage therapy school?
She was like, think about this, Millie. You gotta think about it.
Oh, well,
like, and
of course.
I can always, like, it's funny because we go back and forth with our personalities, and we've always been very close. So, like, growing up, it was all, we would switch you know, the roles, or roles mm-hmm. would reverse, and I was like, and all of a sudden I'm the mother, and I'm like, no, you need to do this, and you know, mm-hmm. so like, you know, she was kind of like, think about it, you have to think about it. I mean, honestly, a lot of people were not crazy about it. I don't have a huge circle of friends. Mm-hmm. My father's side, I have a big family in general, but my mm-hmm. mom's family doesn't live here a lot. My father's side, we had disconnected a little bit with the mm-hmm. divorce with my parents, so mm-hmm. They weren't really of opinion, you know, but I could see, you know, people had a big opinion about it, those who I did tell, so I kind of mm-hmm. just laid back a little bit on it, and I just went, like, kind of what my mother always tells me to do. I think she told me that yesterday. She was like, okay, do this, but don't tell anybody. But
that's my friend's advice. She says, if you have an idea,
do it.
You know, you can manifest, write in your journal, whatever, tell a trusted adult, but... you know, keep it to yourself, because people, not everyone is going to want to see you thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. And it's even yeah. sadder when it's your family.
It is. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and again, I didn't really feel like it wasn't too much, but I could still sense it a little bit. So I just let it ride. And I think I just was like, people were like, oh, what are you doing? Or what's this? Or I'd be like, oh, yeah, because I don't work there anymore. And they're like, what do you mean you don't work there anymore? And I'm like, oh, because mm-hmm. I'm in massage school. And they're like, what are you talking about? Like, what do you mean you're in massage
completely
school?
Left,
you were
yeah.
just, you know, I mean, doing the LSAT and talking about law school, and now you're in massage school. And it's just like,
it happens.
It does.
Did you feel, I mean, I feel like this is rhetorical question, but did you feel like you made the right choice? Because you were hearing all these messages about massages when you were in mm-hmm. massage school. I'm sure now, you know, you're happy where you are, but when you're in massage school, did you think, yeah, I'm supposed to be here? Did you have moments when you doubted mm-hmm. yourself?
No, I did. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, and you know, going back to the like caring for people and stuff, like they would be like, oh, it's the first class of whatever class, let's go around the room, like, why are you here? And this is like, because I want to help people, because mm-hmm. I want to help people. And I'm there like,
what was your why,
Millie?
I'm
open a business.
That was your why? You wanted to open your own business?
Yeah, I wanted to open my own business. Wow. You know, I was like, this is what I'm going to do it. And,
so you didn't think I'm going to work in a spa? You were like, I'm going to open my own business.
No, I'm going to open. Yeah, absolutely. And it was a class of entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a lot of us that they were like, oh, everybody wants to open up their business in this class. So, mm-hmm. and it was a very close class. Like, we were very good friends. I was still texting one of my good friends from massage school earlier today. Mm-hmm. So it was like, we still are really connected and close. But yeah, I did. I doubted myself a lot because I was like, I'm little. I'm not even going to be able to do this. In the massage world, I think people or Americans as a culture see the spa world as a massage world as a spa. And as, you know, the day at the spa and the relaxing and the ah. But for massage therapists and in massage school and massage associations, this is like, they are serious about it. This is technical work. This is like, you know, specific, and you got to know your muscles and you got to know your attachments and you have to know all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I didn't know I could do all of that. Like, yeah. I was never a science person. Anatomy and physiology almost killed me. So it's like, mm-hmm. am I going to be able to do this being a smaller person? How do I get deep into this muscle, or how can I be as effective as this bigger person? That was more like me thinking. So.
Yeah. Wow. So you had your doubts because you didn't think, maybe this is not something I can do, but I still want to open the business
mm-hmm.
side of it.
Yeah.
Did you have any other role models growing up? Because I don't know a lot of Latinas who they grew up wanting to own a business, or they thought like, I want to do this because I want to have my own thing. I want to have flexibility. I want to come in and leave whenever I want. So, did you have any other role models in your life?
I mean, I definitely had a lot of role models and a lot of women around me, and I always surrounded myself with I tried to look up to powerful women. I mean, I was at Prudential when we first started going to the Latinas in Power Symposium, and that was today.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were there today. It was nice to come back as a vendor. This is my second year being a vendor there.
That's awesome.
So it was nice to get exposed to the different women that would be at those conferences. And then when I was went to BayPath University. At that time, it was BayPath College. It was a small college, but BayPath College is a women's college. Now they have men in their graduate degrees.
I didn't know BayPath was a women's college.
It's all women's. It's all women on campus, no men.
Wow.
So they only accept men now into the graduate programs, and of course, they're not housed. But, you know, going to those conferences, BayPath has a women's conference every year, and it's amazing. I mean, I went and I saw Ashley Judd speak. I saw Sister Helen Prejean speak.
Wow.
I saw Queen Latifah speak, you
wow.
know, like right in the room with these people. And it was just like, it never really, like, I'm reflecting at it now, but it never really occurred to me that, you know, we couldn't. It's, I've always been, like, you know, go-go Latina and go-go women, you know, and it's, like, especially, I don't know if I've always felt like I had something to prove, because I only spoke Spanish when I was 5, but I don't speak a lot of Spanish. Now, it was something that kind of faded away when my parents were trying to help me learn English, same. It's always been, like, this thing, like, we go to Puerto Rico and I can't speak Spanish, you know? And it's, like, that taboo, like, she don't talk Spanish, you know? So it's, like, but I always tell people, I'm, like, I don't speak Spanish, but I'm so Puerto Rican,
And like, every that doesn't other define, aspect. It does not define how Latina I am, because of what I speak,
So it's, like, amazing. That kind of, you know, just pushed me to do it better now, and, like, even that's a big focus for myself, because, like, my mother speaks Spanish. She grew up in Puerto Rico, but she's very focused on providing therapy to Spanish-only speaking people. I mean, she does therapy for whoever, but she takes pride in that she can provide that service. And I want to get to that place where I could provide that service, too, because I think a lot of Hispanics and people of color in general don't feel like massage is something they do. Massage is something that
they don't.
It's not a person of color thing, you know. It's not for them. Yoga is not for them. Reiki is not for them. Meditating is not for them. And it's like, when you really think about it, this is all traditional Asian medicine. So this is not even, you know, this is goes way past color. So it's, that's like my kind of message all the time, that self-care is so important, and it's, you know, it's okay that you're a person of color. You need a massage. You still have muscles just like anybody else. So
tell me about the cultural breakdown in, like, the spa world. Do you have a sense as to whether there's women like you? Is it women of color? Is it mostly white? What's your perspective on that?
Definitely mostly white. Okay. I mean, especially in this area. Right now, on this block alone here on Market Square, there's probably another 25 massage therapists. There are two across the street. There's a 100 Market Square that has, like, 15 of them in there. You know, there's a lot of massage therapists in this Newington, West Hartford area, and no, there's not a lot of people of color. I mean, I went to the Connecticut chapter of the American Massage Therapy Association, their conference, and it was like a 4-day event, and there was nobody like me in there. Wow. You know, there was, I'm like, not another guy, not another, like, there's no people of color there. There's a whole bunch of women there, you know, and this world is very, very supportive. So it's definitely supportive, but it's like, I'm the person of color in the room. It's like, you guys sent me to represent. I don't know how it happened, but, like, I have to figure this out.
Was it empowering, or was it scary to look around and realize, like, wow, I'm the only one?
I think it was more empowering than scary. Like, it was, like, it's almost indifferent. Like, it wasn't not much of an issue at all. But yeah, empowering, and, you know, seeing, working so closely with Diana from Divine Secrets and her running her spa. And, you know, she's a Hispanic woman running it. Then she has one of her associates with her, Isa, who is another Hispanic woman running stuff, you know. We got Carla Medina running that, you know, gym, which is also a very white world, you know. It is.
Shout out to Carla.
Shout out to Carla, always. Yeah, she's one of my biggest mentors. And, you know, it's like, these women do show you, you know, being in the Latina Symposium, talking to these women that are, like, they're running their stuff, and it's like, and they're like, hurrah, hurrah to you that are running it. And I think that's the difference with us, because, you know, and there's always going to be competition, and there's always going to be negativity and negative people. But I feel like in my circle, and in the circle maybe that I've created, you know, I just shouted out Shawnee from Manchester with no problem, because, you know, I think she's an amazing massage therapist. And, you know, competition is not competition. It's just, you know, you got to see it in a different way. There's enough clients for everybody, and your clients will find you. So it's nice to be in the supportive thing that, you know, if anybody says anything, you know, if I've had people from Farmington, where Danielle from Soma is like, hey, I sent so-and-so to you because you do this well.
Right.
And, you know, vice versa. It's just, you know, about being supportive. And I think that's missing a lot in the spot world.
Absolutely.
It's very, very catty. It's very, very competitive. And, like, you'll follow a massage therapist, and they will not follow you back. And you're like, it's okay, but we'll still be friends. It's all
right. That's sad.
Yeah.
I love that you were touching upon, like, Latinos and them not, them not using self-care or massages as a form of self-care, because there are people who think self-care is just massages and facials and stuff like that. And there are people who are just like, you know, there's other ways to do self-care. But massages are a form of self-care. So do you feel like with your platform that you've been able to bring in more people of color? What's your clientele kind of look like? And what's your focus and your messaging? But
yeah, I absolutely do think I've been able to bring more people of color, especially with my contacts. We refer to each other heavy. Diana is one of my biggest people that refer. Carla is right there as well, and I'm referring right back to them. So I'm seeing a lot of women of color, and I never really had a target. And I'm like, I went to business school. I need to have a target audience. Like, I need to figure this out. And I never really had it until I like grew into it. Mm-hmm. And when I ended up targeting and what I end up having as my client are professional women with families and a lot going on, and 9 times out of 10 they're women who are investing in their self-care, whether they're getting Diana services with body contouring or they're working out really hard. I see a lot of women that work out really, really hard,
and massages are a great recovery,
and that and I definitely, you know, massage is definitely great for self-care and really good for that. But at the end of the day, with all these people working out so hard now with the CrossFits and the boot camps and the this and the that, like, these people are training like athletes week after week, and they're not being treated like athletes. They're not self-caring like athletes.
Right,
so
right.
I think that I definitely think it's so important for them to get in, because we want to operate at this certain peak level all the time, taking care of our families, taking care of work and doing this and doing that. But if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of other people.
Yeah. My favorite quote is, you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so true.
And I always think about the whole, you know, put your face mask on before you put the next person, you know, it's like, if you put that other person's face mask on and then you pass out, you know, it's you're done.
Exactly.
So you have to take care of yourself. You can't think that is selfish. Even if, like I always say, you know, I'm a really bad salesperson. So even if it's not massage, like, don't, if massage is not your thing, or massage, you know, is sometimes out of budget, or, you know, you can't quite fit it into the budget or what have you, do something for yourself. You have, you know, take 10 minutes and meditate, walk by the beach. I mean, get some chips if that makes you happy, you know. But like, you know, do something that just makes you happy and something that you're taking care of yourself. Go to the doctor, get an annual checkup, you know, go to the dentist. It's so important. Get life insurance. I'm another big life insurance person, but get something that makes you feel good. Do something that makes you feel good.
No, I love that. And I was, you know, just thinking about the services that you offer. So you get your referrals a lot from women already in your community, like Carla, who has your gym, Diana, right, who has the spa. You know, when you have this space here now, so how else is kind of business going? Because you started off 4 years ago?
Yeah,
4 years ago. Are you here full time? Are you the only massage therapist? How is that going?
Yes, I'm the only massage therapist right now. We're really, really hoping to expand shortly. I'm hoping to be in a bigger space by the end of the summer, and that would look like having more than one treatment area for massage, having a space for couples massage, and things like that. But I want to be able to, I'm here full time, so I definitely work a lot. But
are you like completely booked?
I am definitely booked out sometimes. So the way that my schedule works is, a lot of people hold off on what they consider the luxury, usually the first week of the month. So my first week of the month is usually a little bit slower. But after that, my Fridays and Saturdays are usually booked out about 2 to 3 weeks ahead.
Wow.
My Thursdays get pretty booked, and then the beginning of the week kind of tapers off. I do a lot on Instagram, so besides that, you know, I get a lot of people, and I always ask, you know, how'd you hear about us, you know, this or what have you. So I get a lot of people buying gift cards or what have you, but, you know, Instagram. I saw you on Instagram, or I've been following you on Instagram. Like, sometimes I'll go somewhere and they're like, oh my God, I follow you on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
So you're doing everything. You're like the face of the brand. You do the massages. You do the social media.
Yeah.
All the posting and everything.
Yeah.
And you don't just do like regular therapeutic massages. That's what you call it. Yeah. What else do you do?
So I definitely dabble in a lot of modalities. When it comes to therapeutic massage, I do mostly deep tissue.
Is that the one that hurts?
Yeah, definitely. Hurts so good, you know, hurts so good. So
It hurts so good.
But and a lot of massage therapists wouldn't like that little comment, but still, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, because, not a bad hurt,
but deep tissue was something I was really scared, like I mentioned earlier. I was scared to do because I didn't think I could do it. I'm like, how am I going to do that? But you learn how to do deep tissue in massage school, and you learn how to massage without hurting yourself or hurting your hands or what have you. So as I started doing more and more deep tissue, it's like it just kept coming to me, and more people were coming to it.
And you were like, I'm small. What am I going to do?
I know. I'm like, how am I going to do that? And all of a sudden, I'm like balancing on someone with my elbow and so, you know, trying to get them, you know, get into that spot. But, a lot of deep tissue just came to me, and so I still have a lot of clients that I work with, and they'll say, oh, go to Milvet because of this, or, you know, or go, you know, what have you. But
so that's your most popular service is the deep
tissue? I do a good amount of Reiki.
Nice.
I'm very...
What is Reiki for those who don't know?
So Reiki, and this is another thing that I always go back to, like if this was 5 years ago, I'd be like, what are you talking about? So Reiki is it's a Japanese it was founded in Japan, and it is the form of working with healing energy. It's the idea that there is the universal energy that flows through us and that we can channel to heal someone else, both physically and emotionally, mentally. Reiki literally translates to universal life force. So we do a lot of Reiki. When I have a client that really, really tight, or something just keeps hurting, sometimes it's a Reiki thing. Or I tell them, you know, I have this really good therapist you could go see, and that really helps. You know, I besides my mother, I have a really good therapist that I see, and I recommend her all the time. She's amazing, and you know, so I think that is a well-rounded thing. But that's usually where I go to Reiki. And right now, because of deep tissue, I've been doing a lot of cupping. A lot of cupping,
like
people love cupping.
Get out.
And it makes my job easier because it's not so rough. I mean, I got one right here, a little glass cup right here. But
I'm so curious. It's so crazy. I'm serious. I see people with the marks on them, and I'm like, oh, that looks like it hurts. What is the purpose of cupping?
Cupping does not hurt. I always tell people, cupping doesn't hurt. It should not hurt. It may feel uncomfortable.
Do it on me right now.
If you're asking for like a lot of pressure.
I'm literally asking Millie to cup my hand right now because I'm
right
so
now.
Curious.
Oh
my god,
cup.
That looks like a saw. Are you going to saw off my hand?
It's not going to hurt. You want me to do it on me first?
No, it's okay.
Wait,
isn't it hurt?
No, it's not gonna hurt.
Oh my god, I wish that
I
could get this on video.
This is a glass cup. These aren't in my favorite. she's squirming.
Oh my god.
See, it didn't even stay. Look, see, it was like over before you didn't even know it. There
you go. Oh my god, I wanted a picture.
Your arm is definitely super tight.
So Millie definitely just oh, my arms are tight. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, well, you probably use these muscles a lot. Core arms are a little bit tight, so sometimes the
Oh my god, can we take a picture?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is gonna be so cool. Okay, so yes, explain to me you were telling me what cupping is.
So cupping is traditional Chinese medicine, and it is a different way to take out, well, basically to resolve the tight tissue. So what happens is when you use cupping, it's like suction. It's like a suction cup, and it brings all the blood in that area through the muscle. And whenever you bring new blood through the muscle, you bring in new oxygen, new nutrients, you're healing the muscle. Some people will get marked very dark.
Dark
marks, and some people like to call them cup kisses.
you're saying that it's for like muscle. So say you are a person that has a lot of like their thighs are always tight. Would cupping be for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I usually show people on the forearm. I use it a lot for my forearms because as massage therapists, our forearms get super tight.
Yeah,
so we try to do some self-cupping. This one might be a little bit big. But I try to use it with a little bit of oil.
How long do you keep the cupping on for? How long is the cupping treatment?
It depends. Well, the cupping treatment, we have anywhere from 30 minutes to 2 hours if the client wants it.
And they just sit there with the cups on
them? No, not really. We do massage and we do cupping, and we do cupping with movement. So when you have it you know, oiled up, you can move the tissue, and you can see, it's a little tight, too, and you can see how
is it good that the skin is tight, or is that bad? Is it good that the skin is tight and you can't grab, or is that bad?
No, I mean, when your muscles are tight, they hurt. Okay. So, you know, generally, when your muscles get tight, it's because they think that either you do have an injury or they just think you have an injury. And our muscles like to get really, really tight and they splint.
Okay.
Just like if you splint a broken bone, and what happens is your body's like, we're going to get really, really, really tight. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna make it so that she doesn't want to move because it hurts.
Ooh.
And maybe she will heal faster, and maybe she won't injure herself anymore. But with us, you know, we don't have time to like stay still, so we just continue to injure ourselves, or our body thinks that way. So but cupping helps a lot. I mean, it's a good detox. It's really sedative. Some clients will just really like, oh, can you end with all cups all over my back, really, really tight, and they will just like sit there like, and oh, I felt like I was floating, or I felt like this. So it's
crazy.
Yes.
Oh, it, to me, it's right there up there with acupuncture with mm-hmm. me. Well, like, I don't think I'll ever try it, but I want to. Especially, I have really bad headaches, and I keep, you know, they keep telling me try acupuncture. I'm like, I'm so scared. I know you don't do that here, but
yeah, I mean, but in massage school we learn acupressure.
Oh,
so that's actually one of the first things that we learned when I was in massage school, because they change up the curriculum so often. And you really learn about the meridians. The meridians are what the Chinese traditional medicine believed as to be their energy channels running mm-hmm. through the body. So you have them all over, and that's where they do acupuncture, the acupoints. And so we were like thumb arm, you know, things yeah. like that. So that was like that was interesting in itself. But I would also recommend cranial sacral therapy. That's another thing that I do. That's another thing that a lot of people don't know a lot about. And I would love to be more into it, but I feel like I can't do it a lot because people just are like, that's too much. I don't even, what did you just say? But cranial sacral therapy is like, it's the system of your skull, your spine, down through your sacrum. Mm-hmm. And it's the idea that an orthopedic surgeon discovered, where you have this other type of pulse where your skull, your bones in your skull move ever so slightly, kind of like similar to the way the earth moves so slow that we can't mm-hmm. feel it. And if they're stuck, or if they're not moving in sync with each other, it just doesn't work well. So it's actually a really, really big practice right now. It helps a lot with migraines, with anxiety, with all kinds of things, turning a breech baby. It's crazy. But one of the big things that is happening with it right now is that they're partnered with a lot of the retired NFL players mm-hmm. to work with them with cranial sacral mm-hmm. to see if it could help with their brain injuries before, you know, they wow. really start to feel the harmful effects of them. So there's a lot of work going on around
really
that.
Really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, and I'm only asking this because it reminds me of having, I've had other women on the podcast who have wellness related businesses, and they almost, they'll have a conversation with their clients, and I feel like with massage therapy, or maybe with your business, somebody's coming in for a service, but do you ever recommend like, ooh, I see that your body's like this, or you feel like this, I would recommend this kind of treatment next time you come, or I recommend that you do this on a monthly basis. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, I definitely do that, and a lot of clients are asking for that information anyway. Mm-hmm. They're like, what can I do? What can I do so I can feel like this or not feel like that?
Right.
And I'm a bad salesperson, so it's like, if you know it's like I don't try to like throw it on to you, you know. It's more like, oh, if you need this, you need that. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually like recommend. I will say things like that, you know, and if they kind of take me up on it, but it's more like the newer things, like, hey, you know, we got cupping going on, you should really try cupping for this, or you know, I'll tell them that, or I refer people out to other things. Okay. I know a really good Thai massage therapist, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like Thai massage is super cool. It's not something that I do at all, so mm-hmm. it's like when people really, really like, that's a completely different form of deep work. Like that mm-hmm. is the deepest that you can get. So it's like, if like I consider myself really deep therapist, but you know, if I can't get that deep and you need that, then you mm-hmm. need that, and that's okay. And it's like I said, it's about, you know, supporting and sending the client where they would be best serviced. And I know a bunch of good Thai massage therapists, so I'm like, go to her, she's super busy, but this one might be better to get into. But yeah, I'm never afraid to recommends a different service to someone, or refer them out, or tell them that they need to do different things. And I try to be very non-judgmental about it, because I can be very inconsistent with myself, and I am not, you know, always perfect and not always practicing what I preach. But at the same time, you know, I'm telling the clients, like, you know, you need to come to get massage more often if you want to work out 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. You know, you need to, you need to do this. You need to
recovery is just as important.
It just is what you got to do.
As a small business owner, being that you are a Latina as well, and you know that you're, you know, people are probably going to want to come to you because you're a Latina, they feel more comfortable. Did you factor that in terms of, like, pricing? Because a lot of people don't get massages because they're expensive. A lot of people don't go to the spa because it's expensive. That's why they use Groupon or something like that. So knowing that, how did you kind of price things? And how did you, was that an issue at all where you were just like, you know, I have to be affordable, or no, I need to pay bills? How, you know, what was that struggle like for you?
I mean, it definitely is difficult. I think it's difficult for people in general when they're, like, asking for money. It's hard to learn how to ask for money. You know, I've known people that will let people walk out of their office and be like, oh, they didn't pay me. It's like, well, it's your job to ask them for money, you know? So I've always been really clear about that. But it was a struggle, like, how do I... You know, I'm
price
new,
and
what am I worth? Am I worth that much? And you know, in massage school, I've done so many different types of educational experiences, whether it's at night, whether it's online, whether it's Saturday programs or what have you. And going to massage school was just like one of the best educational experiences I've ever had. And they really get you in tune with yourself, and you meditate before class.
Wow.
You sit on the floor on pillows. It's like peace, love, and granola over there, you know? So it's like,
that sounds like a shirt.
Yeah, you learn to love yourself and to, you know, really go through that. So then it's even more difficult because you're like, I need to get paid, and I want them to, I feel like I'm worth this, but nobody's gonna pay me that. So I creeped up with the pay. I started way too low, and I just creeped up. I got in so much trouble with Groupon for starting so low, because then, you know, the percentage is coming down, I'm getting paid even less.
Right.
But beyond that, I started low, and before I came here to the Newington location, I was in Weathersfield, and I was on my own, and I was doing about $70 for a 60-minute massage, which is really, really, really good. I mean, a good massage in this area can go anywhere from 90 to 100 to 110 for an hour. So when I moved to Newington with so many massage therapists in this area...
You have to be competitive.
I wanted to be competitive, but I actually brought my prices up because I didn't want to undercut the other massage therapists.
Yeah.
I didn't want them to think that I was coming in here to steal all their business with the lower prices.
Right.
So I brought myself up, basically up to average, and that's kind of where I have to stay. And I feel like that's why, you know, yes, I would love to have any client that needs it, because everybody needs it. But at the end of the day, I focus on these professional women and men, and mostly women, like I said before, that are already investing in self-care. Going to most of these gyms in this area are not cheap. Doing body contouring, doing facials, when you're supposed to, that's not cheap. But when these women are doing that, they are more willing and more apt to investing in their self-care. They're already investing in self-care,
and
so they see the importance.
Even if you just have a gym membership, you're investing in yourself. And if you get that every 3 months, every quarterly facial, and, you know, the food that you eat, everything is an investment. So it's what is your value at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, if you care enough about yourself, and I don't want to say that in such a bad way, kind of came out really rough, but, you know, if you love yourself like that, you want to give yourself that self-care. And like I said before, it doesn't have to be massage. Yeah, massage can be pricey. I mean, when I first started getting massages, I had to give up my nails, and I was like, oh my God, I have to give up doing my nails for massage.
Oh, yeah.
And now I have clients who do that, and I'm like, I'm so sorry, but I can't have nails anymore because I massage, so we both gave them up. You know, it's like, it's like that. But, you know, I feel the struggle, and, you know, I've had clients call me and say, I can't come in because I didn't get my paycheck, or I didn't do this, and, you know, but at the same time, I love my clients for that, because I will tell some of them, and, like, I have a couple clients, and I'm like, my number one, you know, you're, like, my favorite client, like, I have my favorite clients, I do, and I told one of them, I'm like, come in anyway, you're good, and she was like, no, I'm not doing it, you know, no, I don't want to do that, I don't want to owe you, I don't want to feel bad, you know, whatever, and, you know, I appreciated her on that level, but, It is a struggle for me because I know what it is not to, you know, I grew up pretty well. My parents did take pretty good care of me. And then I moved on to, you know, the next person to really help me along, you know, who's really helped me, you know, not have to struggle. But I know people struggle. And I always say, I wish I could get a free massage. I wish, you know, one day when I'm running a franchise or when I'm running a bunch of massage offices, I'm just going to work for, you know, tips for charity or something. You know, it's like... But at the end of the day, you know, your business
is still new. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. How do you balance right now having a family and stuff? Because you have two kids?
No, I have one son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have one son. He's 10, and it is it's definitely difficult. Mm-hmm. He is at an age where he is definitely independent. Like, he has a lot of characteristics that are very independent, but still at an age that he still needs me, and he's still, and, you know, I struggle with the guilt, the guilt of it mostly, because my son is very passive and very happy-go-lucky. Like, I'm a pretty positive person, and I think I, you know, steered him that way. But he's very, okay, you know, I'll figure it out, or I'll do it, I'll take care of it, and, you know, or it's okay, yeah, you gotta go to work, or it's okay, you have to do this, and it's like... more of, he's definitely taken care of. I have that support with my mother, who helps me a lot. Of course, his dad is, you know, doing a big role there. But you know, I struggle with it, like not being able to do certain things, or I'll see him off to school and then I won't get home till 8 o'clock at night or whatever. Yeah. And it's like,
do you put up boundaries then, where like certain days are family days or certain times you will, you know, schedule clients? How do you kind of do that?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely, I mean, my mother kind of warned me about that early on, but as I started developing my business, I went like more towards working with the different business owners and mentors, so I'd get more of the business advice from them, and I'd get more of the mother advice from her. So she kind of, you know, hinted at that, but then when we weren't talking so much business anymore, I kind of moved on to something else. But then, like, my, you know, one of my biggest mentors, and she's my biggest mentor because she's my personal mentor, you know, Carla is she's always there, and she really, you know, she comes to get massage, and it's like the massage is all about talking to me the whole time, and I'm like, do you want to relax, you know? But
yeah,
you know, she really is a strong believer in taking that time off, and it's like she applauds it, like physically applauds it, when, you know, she's like, oh, so what are you doing with this? And I'm like, I'm taking Wednesdays off. I'm really trying hard to take these Wednesdays off. I take Sundays off, generally as a rule. But some Sundays I do work. So it's like, you know, if I have an event or I have this or what have you. But I'm trying to be better with that. I'm trying to take that whole Sunday off, because sometimes I still try to sneak a couple clients in the morning or this. Yeah. Or, you know, because it's like, oh, they want to come in. Oh, okay, it's only one. And then it's like, oh, it's only two. Wait, now I have a 3-hour break. You know, it's like, you know, it makes it messy sometimes. But yeah. You want to work and you want to promote your business, and you see the impact on your business when you're working hard, and it's like you want to continue that momentum, and you just like want to push for it. So it's the balancing act is a balancing act, and it doesn't always balance, but it figures itself out.
You figure it out, right? You've mentioned Carla, who has a gym, and Diana, who has the spa and stuff. What do you kind of do for self-care for yourself?
So for self-care for myself, I definitely get massage. So I try to get massage every 3 to 4 weeks, if I can.
Definitely. Who does your massages?
Definitely. I do see Danielle in Soma Spa in Farmington. Danielle was the first one who would give me a job when I had my own business, and nobody wanted to hire me because I had my own business.
Aww.
So I appreciate her so much as a business owner. She's taught me so much as a massage therapist as well. And she is an incredible massage therapist, and she's very, very deep. So if you want that deep work, she'll give it to you. So I go to her. I try to get up there and do that. And other than that, I don't do much. I try to get my meditation in. I feel better when I meditate. I try to do self-Reiki. Try to get some reading in. But, yeah, it gets busy. It gets busy, and it's all work and sleep and massage.
Do you have a do you do anything for recovery for your own body? You mentioned the cupping and the massages. Do you do anything else to prepare your body for the fact that you have to put so much effort into other people's bodies?
Well, when it comes to massaging, body mechanics is really big, and they teach you body mechanics a lot in school. Mm-hmm. Body mechanics is the way you hold yourself and move when you're working, and they teach you how to work with your legs, getting that pressure with the legs. And it's weird when you say it and weird to say it out loud, but it works. And so I don't get a lot of fatigue in my hands. If my hands hurt, it's the problem. I was doing something wrong, or I was doing too much like specific work, which I don't do a lot of. I just happen not to. So I don't get a lot of fatigue in that way. But I'm one to fidget a lot. So, like, while we're talking, I'm, like, here massaging myself, you know, I'm massaging my arm, or I'm stretching this way or stretching like this. And the stretches have been something new I've been trying to add. But I'm always on a journey to try to do better for myself. Drink more water. You know, it's a struggle for me. Get that exercise in is another struggle for me when it comes to my schedule. Get that good food in. But
yeah. And, I mean, and you look great, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it.
You mentioned something about massaging yourself and stuff like that. Do you feel like you recognize your body now that you're so in tune with other people's bodies? Do you recognize when your body's in pain and when it needs, you know, say it's been just 1 week since your last massage and your body's in pain, what do you do to kind of relieve the pain?
I do, and I always recommend my clients to use Epsom salt. Epsom salt is a very basic necessity that we tend to forget that we need, because we don't have it in our body anymore, so we don't get it a lot in our diets. So it's a lot of different ways you could use Epsom salt. Most people think, oh my god, I gotta soak in a tub of Epsom salt, and it's like, yeah, that's probably the best way to do it, but if you can't do it, don't do it. Like, I can't be there for 20 minutes, I'm gonna go crazy hanging out in the bathtub. So I tell people you could do a foot soak, still getting the Epsom into your body. And something that Diana actually taught me is you can do a like a rub. So like, just like if you like scrub, like a dry scrub is the dry rub. So you could wet your arm, let's say it's your arm that's hurting you, or put a little bit of oil on it and rub the Epsom right into the skin. Let it absorb there for a little while and wash it off, and that really helps.
I've been dying to do an Epsom salt bath, but I don't fit in my tub.
That happened to me in my last apartment. Yeah, and I hated it so much.
And I'm like, I got my first like apartment by myself. I've always had roommates, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to soak in it. The first thing I bought when I signed my lease was a lavender, like the doctor, whatever his name is, lavender Epsom salt, like the big ass one. And it's sitting underneath my sink because I don't fit in my tub, and I swear that I can make myself fit and be comfortable, but it's not the same.
I know, so that really happened to me. I lived in our the last apartment that I lived in. We were there for almost 10 years. Wow. And we never fit in the bathtub. And I'm like, I'm little to like never fit in the bathtub. Like, that's a problem. You're small to never fit in the bathtub. Like, we should be able to fit. Right. So like, when my mother went to buy houses, like, I'm like getting in all the bathtubs. I'm like, you gotta get in the bathtubs and make sure you fit. And the realtor is like, this girl is crazy, but it's like, uh-uh. So a real estate tip, if you're buying a house, make sure you fit in that bathtub, because it's real.
I feel like my body knows that we haven't taken a bath in a while.
And it's so weird to say, because people be like, what you mean? And be like, no, like a tub bath.
Yeah, like, I take showers, but I'm talking about a tub bath, like a bath. Like a soak.
Yeah. Like, I made sure my mother got that bathtub, and I would, like, go to her house and soak in her tub, because it was just, like, not gonna happen.
And it's funny, because you can't even, unless you're going to, like, a luxury hotel, all the hotels have shower heads. They don't have tubs.
Yeah.
Because I love bath bombs, and I used to buy them every time I would travel, hoping that when I would go somewhere, they'd have a tub. And they didn't.
Well, there's two things for that. There are the shower steamers.
What's the shower steamer?
So there's shower steamers. I have another, I work with another lady. Her card is right there. Diana. Diana's another Diana. I think they come in like threes or fours, because there's so many came into my life at one time. But Diana's Candles and Soap, she's local. She's in Waterbury. Ooh, okay. She makes all her own stuff. I think she makes some of them, but if not, you can double check with somebody else. But it's like a steamer, is they drop it in the bottom, and as the water hits it, it kind of comes up, kind of like the same thing.
That's so cool.
So there's that. And there's also those float tanks, those sensory deprivation tanks that they're talking about, and
those float tanks.
That's Epsom salt.
But they close you in.
Some of them do. Like, some of them don't. I know. And you know, I'm like, I haven't been to it either. So like, I'm not even bigging them up, because I mean, actually, some people say that they're really great and they love them. I haven't heard anybody say they don't like it. But I'm to the whole thing, and it's like, I'm sorry if I'm saying this the whole way wrong, but I'm like, what if you fall asleep in there? You're by yourself and you're going to drown. Like, how much right. water is there? Like, that's my whole thing.
I'd rather do one of those, like, rock, I think is...
The Himalayan seesaw, right?
Yeah, like, it's like a room, yeah, and you're in a cave, so it's open.
Yeah.
And you don't fall asleep, but you're just kind of, like, taking... Your pores are opening up, and...
I think that was more, like, an energetic kind of thing, too, though. Okay. More, it's more, like, the kind of crystal, like, I went to Virginia with my best friend a couple, like, last year, and we went to the sauna place, and they had all these different, like, saunas and stuff, mm-hmm. and one of them was, like, an amethyst room, and it had, like, all amethyst on the ceiling, mm-hmm. and it was, like, super cool, so I think that one's more like that, but there's one right in Mondazi, and they're really, really good priced in, like, Windsor,
oh,
that they have that I'll cave have to do and that. Stuff, yeah, see how it goes, mm-hmm. but I don't know about those float tanks. I was like, let me try it, but I talk crap about Groupon as a merchant, but I was on Groupon looking to see if I could find a deal, and I couldn't find one, and I was like, it's not meant to be.
I want to do that thing where you're in the tank and they freeze you.
Chiral something, right? Yeah, that's really cold.
Yeah. is it going to freeze my fat? What is it going to do?
Well, actually, yes. Like I said, I do work with some body contouring, and the body contouring, we use cold. Cold is really good. We use cold fajas, and they make you, like, buy the cold faja, or they'll tell you, buy a cold faja, go home and put it on your stomach, and I'm like, why? And so, like, I bought them, and then they were like, Millie, you need to use your cold faja, and I'm like, but what am I going to exactly do with it? And they're like, just put it on at home. And I'm like, just like for nothing? And they're like, yeah, take one for the team. It's going to be good for your skin. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know what team I'm on or what's happening. But yeah, so I guess it's really good. I guess it's really good. And I know someone, Gabe from Doomsday Fitness, he talks a lot about that chirotherapy, and he I think that's what it's called, chirotherapy. It's like caveman. There's a place called Caveman or something, and he I don't know if that's where he goes, but he really likes it, and he gets like frozen. You stand up and you're like in your underwear, and they just like put this gas on, you know, like it's like I don't know what it is, and then they freeze you for a couple
I'm
minutes.
I'm honestly willing to try any wellness thing, mm-hmm. as long as it's going to benefit me, you know, like, I guess, I don't know,
cold is like a whole nother thing, I'm pretty open.
Before I started the podcast, I told myself that I would write a blog about all these wellness trends, mm-hmm. but I figured that would get boring quick because I keep seeing the same stuff, but then now that I'm invested in the podcast, I see all this new stuff pop up. And I was so wrong.
I think there's that's so an issue too for like massage therapists coming into it, because it's like your first day in massage school, they're like, we're going to go over the 30 most common types of modalities. And you're like, oh my God, there's 30 different things that massage therapists do. And those are only the popular ones. And it's like, then you want to do this, and then you want to do crystals, and now you want to mess with oils, and you want to do oracle cards. And it's just like, so much, and it is, I think, you know, we gotta work on like keeping ourselves grounded, because it's easy to get overwhelmed, and it's easy to overwhelm the clients who, like, sometimes I'll go off and like, oh, and you could try this to help, and you could try this to help, and then I'll be like, I'll step back and I'll say, okay, well, just pick one. Pick one and start with one and see how that goes, and then try something else, because there's so many things you can do nowadays to do self-care that are healthy, that, you know.
And I feel like self-care and grounding is different. And you seem like a really happy, energetic, and really, like, you know, loving person. And, you know, and you didn't even want to get into this field where you were helping other people. And now you're literally directing your energy into somebody else. How do you keep yourself grounded? Because you're exchanging energy with people all day. How do you keep yourself grounded?
That was definitely difficult for me at the beginning. And it's interesting, because it's something that you go over in massage school. Like, they are not playing with you. Like, they talk to you about that energy, they talk to you about brushing it off, and you're like, I'm gonna brush it, like, really, like, physically brushing it off, and you're like, this is not gonna work. And I found myself telling another massage therapist, and I'm like, no, like, really do that, like, really believe in it. Mm-hmm. But it can be very difficult. You can feel very heavy. It can affect your business, you mm-hmm. know, because it's just like, you don't know what to do. So I try not to get into stones and crystals and things like that, because it is a big world and it's just very overwhelming for me. But I was seeing a naturopath at the time. Her name is Dr. Renee Mamone. She's really, really good, and she works with crystal healing. We started talking about it, and she was like, you should use this stone to help you guard your energy. Mm-hmm. And so I would use that stone as the obsidian. I would use it a lot. And she was like, put it on your body, on a pendant, on a bracelet. Or, mm-hmm. And I can't wear bracelets too often because I'm massaging all the time. So she was like, so put it in your bra. So I put it in my bra. And every day I'd take my bra and I'd pop to the floor, like loud stone hitting it. But it was like that reminder, like, oh. That was all the energy, like it that's all that energy. Nice. Took that. It and it's good. So there's that. I mean, working more with Reiki and like really believing in the energy and the way, you know, we channel this energy, like I don't feel, my belief is that it doesn't belong to any of us, you know, this is just borrowed, it just goes through, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. But there's a lot of topical things you can use. Like I have a energy cleansing spray, and it's a spray that is just nothing more than Florida water and water and some, well, purified water and some flower petals. But it's also charged under the full moon, a specific warm moon. It's also charged with Reiki energy.
Mm-hmm. I have an aura spray too.
Yeah, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Or it's like an aura spray, so it's definitely similar. And I mean, people love it. People really like it. I always say, like, some of my clients say, I think they'd drink it if they could. But, you know, it's like, because, and it goes beyond me infusing energy. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what you believe and how you approach it. And if you believe that when you spray that spray, you're going to feel better and you're going to get rid of that energy, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that.
Just to end, Millie, can you tell us a little bit more, or tell us again where we can find a little time for you, you know, on the socials? If people want to contact you, they want to make an appointment, what's the best way to reach you?
So I am very heavy on Instagram. I push on Instagram. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at A Little Time For You. So mm-hmm. just like that, A Little Time For You, all spelled out. I am, our website is www.alittletimeforyoumt.com. So you can find me there. You can book straight from my Instagram site. You can DM me. And usually the easiest way, if you really need to get a hold of me, is to text me at 860-944-5335.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Millie, for being on Basic Latina. This is so fun.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate you having me on. I'm really excited. Thank
yes.
you so much.
And I'm going to come back to get that cup in, guys.
Yeah, you need to come back for a massage. You need to get a massage next time you come to this room.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Basic Latina podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You could find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you want to reach us, please do so on Instagram and Facebook at Basic Latina Podcast. Or if you'd like to write us an email with any questions, suggestions, or comments, you can write us in at basiclatinapodcast@gmail.com. Sound editing for this episode is by moi, and the music is by Chef Dog. Talk to you guys soon. Stay well and take care. We'll be right back.